భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయాముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 8 మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ ఫ్రమ్ విష్ణు టెక్స్ట్ 23. Since this text doesn't have purport, we'll recite together 24th. I'll just recite this myself.
Murnala gaurayata shesha bhogam paryanka ekam purusham shayanam phanata patrayuta murdharatnam dhubhir hatadhvan tayugant toye.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma could see that on the water there was gigantic lotus-like white bedstead, the body of Sheshanag, on which the personality of Godhead was laying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hood of Sheshanag, and that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. Text 24.
Prekshaam shipantam harito paladrehe sandhya bhrne veruru pramurdhah prinivere ururukma murdh రత్నోదధారోషధిసో మనస్య వనస్రజో వేణుభుజాంగ్రిపాంగ్ర్యః ప్రేక్షాం క్షిపంతం హరితోపలాద్రిహే సంధ్యాభ్రనీవేర్ ఉరురుక్ మూర్ధ్నః రత్నోదధారౌషధిసౌ మనస్య వనస్రజో వేణుభుజాంగ్రిపాంగ్రే ప్రేక్షాం క్షిపంతం హరితోపలాద్రిహే సంధ్యాభ్రనీవేర్ ఉరురుక్మ మూర్ధ్నః రత్నోదధారోషధిసౌ మనస్య వనస్రజో వేణుభుజాంగ్రపింగ్రే. ప్రేక్షాం క్షిపంతం హరితోపలాద్రిహే సంధ్యాభ్రనీవేర్ ఉరురుక్మ మూర్ధ్నః ratnodadaro sadisho manasya. Vanastrajo venu bhujangri pangre. Preksham kshipantam harito paladrehe. Sandhyabhraniver ururukma murdnaha. Ratno dadharo shadhiso manasya. Rastajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Preksham kshipantam harito paladrehe. Sandhya braniver ururukma murdna. Aratno dadharo shadhiso manasya. Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangre. Vaishnavists. Preksham kshipantam harito paladrehe. Sandhya braniva ururukma murdnaha. Ratno dadharo shadhiso manasya. Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Vaishnavis. Preksham kshipantam harito paladrehe. Sandhya braniveruru mukma murdnaha. Ratno dadharo shadhiso manasya. Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Preksham kshipantam harito paladrehe. Sandhya braniver ururukma murdnaha. Dadaro shadhiso manasya. Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Preksham. The panorama. Kshipantam. Deriding. Harita. Green. Upala. Coral. Adrehe. Of the hell. Sandhya. Abhra Niveha of the dress of the evening sky. Uru great. Urukma gold. Murdnaha on the summit. Ratna jewels. Udadhara Udara waterfalls. Ashu Aushadhi herbs. Somyanasya of the scenery. Vanasrajaha flower garland. Venu dress. Bhuja hands. Angripa trees. Angriha legs. translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai translation.
The luster of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of the coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, but the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with the jewels, mocked it. The mountain's waterfalls, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seem like garlands, but the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs, decorated with jewels, pearls, tulsi leaves, and flower garlands, mocked the scene on the mountain. Purport. The panoramic beauty of nature, which strikes one with wonder, may be taken as a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. One who is therefore attracted by the beauty of the Lord is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature, although he does not minimize its beauty. In Bhagavad Gita 2.59, it is described that one who is attracted by Param, the Supreme, is no longer attracted by anything inferior.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्ध्रस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितांस्तं सजीवम् साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमामि विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे हे कृष्णगुरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्
Hare Krishna. I seek blessings for all devotees so that I can speak something glorifying Lord for all of your pleasure and for my purification. So we are seeing Maitreya is describing to Vidura about manifestation of Lord Brahma, and in last few verses we saw Brahmaji, he tried to find the origin of the lotus, but he could not. So then he came up, started meditating, and now he is seeing the beautiful darshan of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu for the first time. So in today, we'll discuss three things. First, how hearing these descriptions about Lord are important. Second, how these descriptions defy the impersonalistic conceptions. And third, we'll discuss about beauty of Lord Krishna, because he started discussing beauty of Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu, right? So from now onward till end of the chapter, it's all about description about Lord Mahavishnu.
The first point, why we need to hear. The hearing is important because proper oral reception leads to proper sense perception. For example, if I don't hear about Krishna and I come to take darshan, I see, you know, somebody standing there. So the question comes, you know, why this fellow is standing in bending form? Why cannot he stand straight? Why these guys are, you know, raising their arms? Why that person's eyes are so big? You know? So, if one doesn't hear properly about Lord, then what happens? What we see with our senses, the sense perception doesn't lead to proper conclusions, you know. But when we hear about Krishna, oh, Krishna is, you know, the Supreme Lord standing in threefold bending form. And then when we come, Venum Kanantamaravinda Dalayataksham, we can then relate. So proper hearing leads to proper sense perception, which leads to devotional contemplation. Then we can contemplate nicely on the form of Lord, on its, you know, pastimes. And if we don't do that, then it leads to mental speculation. Because we have not heard, we'll try to figure it out ourselves. So that is like, you know, mental speculation, right? So therefore, hearing is very important. And from this verse, actually, how it defies the impersonalistic understanding. Like in India, there had been a great, some other preachers, they specifically from, following Islamic faith, they used to debate, oh, your Vedas also say that, you know, Lord has no form, so why you are worshipping? But because, you know, the so-called Hindus, they don't study scriptures, they cannot quote these verses. They clearly tell Lord has a form. And not only form, they zoom in and describe in great detail how the Lord looks like. Like in this verse, we are seeing Brahmaji is describing this beauty of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he's comparing it with the mountain of coral. So coral is basically emerald, you know. So says that it's so beautiful. Now first it's like, you know, in English grammar there are this what they call it, similes and metaphors, right? So this is kind of, you know, to tell somebody, oh, you know, see, you are as tall as a tall tree, you know. So kind of, you know, comparing it with, because the tall tree is considered very tall. So we are comparing. So same way, the beauty of Lord is compared with the mountain. Now just imagine, you know, this big mountain of emerald, and it is dressed in the, you know, it says, you know, by the evening sky. Because in evening sky, if we go to Venus Beach, we see it's like, you know, yellowish. So the Lord's body is compared to this mountain, and the Lord's Pitambar is compared to the evening sky. So sometimes actually, you know, once His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami Maharaj was giving class about the prostitute, you know, coming and luring Haridas Thakur. And then he was describing the description of, you know, this prostitute, you know, how beautiful she was and how, you know, transparent clothes she were wearing, and, you know, the atmosphere, you know, was so soothing. And then he said, can you imagine? And then immediately he said, don't imagine, you know. So we should know what to imagine, what not to imagine, you know? So here we can imagine actually how Lord body is compared with that of a mountain of coral or emerald. And then the mountain has a gold on the top, like we, while going to, like, you know, Big Bear or anything, we see the mountains with a white snow sometimes, right? So same way, this mountain has a gold on top. So that's compared to the Lord's helmet is defying the beauty of that gold. Because it's bedecked with jewels and, you know, it's mocking that beauty. And then the waterfalls and herbs, it's very beautiful. Like, you know, people go to all these national park, right? Yellowstone and Yosemite and whatnot, right? And they are just, wow, such a beauty, you know. This point, that point. And what they all see? Big mountains, waterfalls, nice trees. In essence, that's what they see, right? But what here it is saying that all that is like the garland on the mountain, but that beauty was getting defied by the Lord's jewels and the garland of flowers and the tulsi leaf. Just imagine, like, you know, in case, you know, sometimes devotees also, they go, you know, to this national parks, then we can compare. Actually, this is perverted reflection, as Prabhupada is saying in the from the transcendental body of, you know, Lord. And he said this garland of tulsi and the forest flower, it mocked the scene on the mountain. So you see that tulsi garland is, you know, so, you know, so dear to Lord, you know. So this particular vision by Brahma gives us the, you know, the details of the form of Lord, which, what is, like, you know, what is the effect of taking darshan of Lord? Says in, again, you know, Bhagavatam, during the Rudra Gita, it says that, my dear Lord, I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. You have many other forms, but I wish to see your form that is specially liked by the devotees. Please be merciful unto me and show me that form. So now the effect. What is the effect of darshan? For only that form worshipped by the devotees can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. So what is the effect of taking such darshan? All our senses get satisfied completely. Lord is called as Govinda, right? One who gives pleasure to senses. So, this is very nice meditation, like, you know, from this verse onward. So we saw, like, you know, why hearing is important. Then we saw how the Vedas, in detail, they tell about the personality of God, which defies the impersonal conception. And then, the result of seeing or meditating is such form is that it satisfies all the demands of, you know, all, you know, hankering senses, you know. So then the next point is, you know, we'll dwell some more on beauty of Lord. So here in this verse, it's mentioned that Lord has this tulsi garland, right? So there's another verse from third canto. It says, Mandara kunda kurabotpala champakaranam punnaganaga bakulam bujaparijata gandherchite tulasika bharanena tasya yasmin tapassu manaso bahumanayanti. Although, you know, flowering plants like that of a mandar, kunda, kurubaka, utpala, champaka, arana, punanga, nagakeshara, bakula, lily and parijata, all these are, like, you know, beautiful. There are, like, this some of these flowers, you put one flower near Lord's lotus feet, you enter the temple room and you can, you know, you can get that fragrance. They are so fragrant. But what it says? They are still conscious of the austerities performed by tulsi, for tulsi is given special preference by the Lord who garlands himself with tulsi leaves. You know, this is the, you know, glory of Tulsi Maharani also in this, you know, verse as it is described. So, As this, you know, Prabhupada is also saying that Lord's beauty, it kind of mocks the beauty, any beauty in this world, because that's the original beauty, and rest of the things in this world are the perverted reflection. So we'll, there is another nice verse from Rudra Gita which describes Lord's beauty, you know. Snigdha pravrughanashyamam sarva saundarya sangram charvatyata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam padmakoshapalaksham sundarabhrum sunasikam sudvijjam sukapolasyam sukakarana vibhusham. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily feature also glistens. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petal. Please try to imagine. You can close your eyes and imagine, but don't fall asleep. So, the Lord has four arms and exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petal. Beautiful, highly raised nose, mind-attracting smile, and a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. So that is description again, like, you know, of Lord's beautiful form. Another verse, you know, this is when the ladies of Mathura, actually, before that, there is another verse. It talks in first canto about, again, Lord's beautiful form. Shreyo nivaso yasera pana patram mukhadrusham bahavo lokapalanam sarangranam padambujam. So, in this verse, it says, the Lord's chest is abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for the eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. So the comparison is, if you want to drink something, you need a pitcher or a glass, right? So Lord's face, moon-like face, is compared to the drinking vessel, and what it has, that vessel? Lord's, you know, beauty. And by just taking, you know, darshan about Lord's beautiful face, we can satisfy all the senses. So that is the, you know, the beauty of Lord. And if we go further, when there was this Krishna and Balaram, they were fighting with Chanura and Mushtik. When they entered the arena, the ladies of Mathura, when they saw Krishna and Balaram, they were so mesmerized by their beauty. And they sing this beautiful prayer. They say that, Gopyastapah kiracharanyadamusharupam lavanyasara asamordhvamananya siddhvam dugbhih pibantyunusavani vabhinavam durapam ekanta dhama yashasa shriya aishwarasya. So these ladies, they are glorifying the fortune of these gopis. And what they are saying? What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That form is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and extremely rare. So, the beauty of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, basically it comes from Lord Krishna's beauty itself. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the glories of Krishna's form. So, of course, the Krishna's whole form is, you know, beautiful, you know. There is no doubt. But within the form, the most beautiful is lotus face. Right? The lotus face, moonlight face. And even within that lotus face, what is most beautiful is Krishna's smile. There are two very beautiful verses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sings. He says, Krishnanga lavanya pura madhura haite sumadhura tate yei mukha sudhakara. Madhura haite sumadhura taha haite sumadhura tara yei smita jostna bhara. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features. You know, Lord Chaitanya is comparing to it a city. Like LA has a most visited spot, right? Trip Advisor. And we, our Bhagavad Gita Museum also comes on top list. You know? Bhagavad Gita Museum, Venus Beach, Hollywood, this, that, right? So, Krishna's body is like that, a city of, but what? Attractive features. And is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like the rays of moonshine. He further continues, Lord Chaitanya, describing the glory of Krishna's smile. Madhur haite sumadhura, taha haite sumadhura, taha haite ati sumadhura. Apanara ekakane vyape sab tribhuvane dasadike vyape yarapura. The beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds. Golok Vrindavan, the spiritual sky of Vaikunthas, and the Devi Dham, the material world. Thus Krishna's shining beauty spreads in all 10 directions. So, this Krishna's face is so enchanting that gopis, they did not wanted even to blink their eyes. And they even cursed the same Brahmaji who is describing this beauty. They say, you know, he doesn't know how to create, because they have created this eyelids which keep flipping and which distract our darshan of Lord. This is again in Gopi Gita, there is a beautiful verse. It says, Atati Adbhavan Anikananam Truti Yugayate Tvam Apashyatam Kutilakuntalam Shrimukham Chate Jadavdikshatam Pakshmamukrudrusham. When you go off to the forest during the day, tiny fraction of the second becomes like a millennium for us, because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by a foolish creator. So that is the, feedback, you know, by gopis to Lord Brahma. You know, it's pretty heavy, right? So this is the, there are so many actually, there are the whole Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with glories about Krishna's beauty. So we'll end with this verse. Again, this comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a very famous verse. Prabhupada quoted it many times. Even in Science of Self-Realization, Prabhupada mentions this verse, you know. Sheman bhangitraya prachitim sachi vishchitran drishan drishan vamshi nyastadhra kishlayam ujvalam chandra kena govindakhyam haritanum itikeshitirthopakant kanthe ma prekshisthastva yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangaha. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda. as he stands on the bank of Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute on his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. So this is again describing Krishna's threefold bending form, playing on a flute on Keshi Ghat. So he's saying that if you are attached to your family, don't even look in that direction. Because what will happen? Once you look there, finished. What? Your material life. Because you will get madly attracted. You know? So this is the beauty of Krishna's smiling face. So let's pray that may we all increase our attraction towards this beautiful face. Kartik is coming. This could be a nice meditation wherein we can by heart these verses describing glories of Lord Krishna's beauty. So we'd like to end here. Any questions, comments? Okay. Okay. Actually, that's the purport, but he's putting in a way where, I don't know in English grammar what they call that particular figure of this thing they are using, the ornament of language they are using. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Tai Gaur Premanande.